Well, we have finally, after a very long hiatus, returned to the ordinary time readings for the weekends. The last time we had readings from ordinary time was on March the 2nd, so it's been a little while. And there, I believe it was the 8th Sunday of ordinary time, and now we're at the 14th Sunday of ordinary time. Because of all of the special celebrations, we sort of have gone ahead a little bit. But we're at a part of the Gospel of Luke where Jesus begins what has been called his death march to Jerusalem. Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem, and he's going there ultimately to give his life on the cross. But in this particular gospel reading, when Jesus sends the 72 or the 70 out ahead of him, it's very clear that the church is by nature missionary. Jesus sends these people out, these disciples, to get the different communities ready to receive him. Well, we know that the missionary aspect of the church is something that falls on all of us. It doesn't pertain to just a small number of people. Everybody who is baptized is called to share the good news with others, but we all do it in our own particular way. But I think here, Jesus, or we can discern from what's being said, that what is being referred to are those who dedicate their life to this work, who dedicate their life to the missionary dimension of the church. And I want to point out a few things in this narrative that indicate that. First of all, when Jesus tells them to take no bag, no purse, no sandals, this is those who are going out unencumbered by anything else. They're not weighed down by the things of this world so that they're able to give themselves entirely to this mission. We also see that Jesus says that the laborer deserves his wages. The laborer deserves to be paid. So it's up to us to support those who are engaged in this missionary dimension of the church. Because for many of us, we have other things that, in a sense, weigh us down. And so we're not able to give to that extent. But we should be supporting those who are giving their whole life. Now, I have to say that in the church, generally speaking, we're not so bad at supporting the priests and the religious who are engaged in this missionary effort with all of their life. They've given their entire life to this, and we support them. The place where I think we fall short are those who would like to serve God, but they're not called to the celibate life. They have families, but they would love nothing better than to give of themselves completely to the service of God, but we don't support them. They're not able to because they don't have the proper support to be able to accomplish that. So usually they have to be employed in some other place and only give what's left. So they could give this much, but they're only able to give this much because they're not supported. And so it is something where we should always look to how we can support more people who are on fire with love for God, but are impeded from giving everything to him because they don't have those who are willing to support them in their work. We also see how Jesus, or how God, equips those that he sends with charisms. Here Jesus tells them, go into these communities, heal the sick. Heal the sick. When one of the saints that I think illustrates this commandment of Jesus is Saint Padre Pio, who illustrates it in a very important way, because Saint Padre Pio encompasses both the natural and the supernatural response to this command. We see how when the church went out into different lands, one of the things oftentimes that they did was establish hospitals, and that's what we find what Padre Pio did. Padre Pio really worked very hard to establish a hospital there in San Giovanni Rotondo, which is obviously still in operation today. But he saw that there was a natural ability that we had in order to extend the healing mercy of God to people. But he also encompassed the supernatural, because when Padre Pio prayed for people, things happened. People were healed supernaturally as well. So both the natural and the supernatural are ways in which we follow this commandment of God. Because Jesus doesn't just say, pray for the sick. He says, heal the sick. And we see a resurgence right now in healing ministry within the church, because it's very important that we see the healing power of God at work among his people. We also see that it's sometimes dangerous work. You know, Jesus says, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And that was very true, because even though going from Galilee down to Jerusalem, they could have gone around the area of Samaria. But no, they cut right through it, where they're going to find hostile forces, because the Samaritans were not very kind to the Jewish people of that day. But that was not anything that stopped them. They went even through dangerous areas, areas that were threatening, because they were going to proclaim the message of Jesus to everyone. But the one other thing that I'd like to point out, and I want to conclude with this, because this is important for us, not just that we support those who are willing to do this missionary work of Christ, but the only thing that Jesus ever told us to do when it comes to vocations is to pray. And we hear it in today's gospel. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send out laborers into his harvest. You know, I spent about 4 years as vocations director for the Archdiocese. And when we look at the shortage of vocations, the shortage of priests and religious that we recognize in the church today, a lot of times people will figure, well, why? Why is there such a shortage? And of course, we can look at our secular society that very often drags people away. We can look at the affluence of our society, which oftentimes makes it more difficult for young people to give up the things of this world in order to serve God. We look at different things. But I think that one of the most important areas where we fall short is that we're not praying. When I was looking back in those days, and that's about 20 years ago now, and you looked at the people, the places in Western society that actually were getting a number of vocations, a lot of it was because they were praying. One of the areas that I remember specifically was Orange County, California, where they were getting quite a number of vocations, but again, they were praying for that. When I was in the seminary, there were over 100 seminarians. I went down to London, Ontario. There were over 100 seminarians in the seminary. Almost half of them came from the London Diocese, and a disproportionate number came from one parish in the diocese. But what were they doing? They were praying. You know, you see the chapel over here with the Infant of Prague, and one of the things we've wanted to do with that chapel for many, many years, way before I got here, is to turn that into a perpetual adoration chapel where there would be people praying before our Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, why haven't we done anything about it? We can't even fill up 12, well, I shouldn't say that. We find it difficult to fill up even 12 hours every Wednesday with people coming to pray in adoration. This is something that should be automatic almost for us, that we would come and spend a little bit of time at every week or at least every month, where we would spend a little bit of time here in the church in prayer before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, particularly praying for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. Now, again, I want to go back to where I started, because, of course, we see that the entire church is missionary. And we should never slough that off onto somebody else saying, oh, it's their job. Like, it's the job of the priests or the job of the sisters. You know, it's their job to do it. I'm just going to go about my own life. No. Our religion is never a private thing. It's never just me and God. It's always something that we are called to share. So we all have a part to play. But there is a particular emphasis that we find in today's gospel with those who are giving their entire life in order to serve God. So we want to understand, first of all, the importance of this, the importance of proclaiming the message of Christ to all the nations, to realize that we are all equipped with certain gifts in order to be able to accomplish this task, but also to support and to pray for those who would give their entire lives in order to serve God in this kind of missionary effort.